Taking a look at your automobile today on the Ideas Network, talking about drive systems with your vehicle expert in residence almost, Jim Ward, back with us once again. He's service manager at Smart Motors, over 10 years of master certification, stops by every other month to help out with your vehicle questions. So are you driving a vehicle with four-wheel drive, or maybe it's an all-wheel drive, or maybe it's a two-wheel drive? Jim's going to be talking about the different drive systems, but really the first thing that you need to consider when I think about all-wheel drives, it reminds me a lot of Jill Nadeau.
Thanks, Larry.
Jill's right with me here in the studio right now because she can get through anything, and she always gives me a smooth ride when it comes to the radio.
So
she's the all-wheel drive gal here at Wisconsin Public Radio. She's here because we're in our Wisconsin Public Radio winter member drive. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for programs here. So step up, be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jill, how are we doing on this drive?
Well, actually, on the last hour, we heard from 19 new and returning members. So thank you so much for those gifts. We really, really appreciate that. And Larry, this hour, we have a really cool opportunity for everybody. You can make your gift of any amount right now, and the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund, who is remembering a generous listener from Columbus, will donate an additional $10 or $100 for each one.
Well, let me get this right. So if I contribute $50,
yep,
it turns into $150. If I give $100, it's another $100 added
in? That's right. You got the math right, Larry.
What could be better than that?
I don't know. That's a really cool thing. So.
It's the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund's way of encouraging you to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio so you can increase the impact of your gift. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
That's right. And just a reminder, the large slice of funding for WPR programs, actually the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all our other funding sources, either the state, federal government, businesses, they're all super important, of course, but your contribution makes a huge difference. You know, WPR is the amazing and varied service that is, thanks to your support, independent. We have high quality programs. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So, you know what I did just before the show, so it would count on this show, I did a donation.
That's where you were. I was wondering.
So I figured, you know, it's my time. I thought, is this the time for me to donate? Yeah, it is. I'll donate again. So what about you as you listen to Jill and I talk here? How do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, you're listening right now during
our
winter member drive. That'd be a clue. And whether you tune in for one of our favorite programs or maybe you just check in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you make a habit of listening.
That's right. Now, make a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. When you give, you make the programs and services that you come to rely on possible. It's easy to donate, too. Just get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount, and you'll have 5 chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, and your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month or $200 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, things are kind of complicated in life. Well, there's one thing that's super easy, and that's giving to WPR. All we need is your name, contact information, and the amount of your gift and how you'd like to pay.
You know how long it took me?
How long did it take you, Larry?
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
About 2 minutes to make my contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. It really does just take a couple of minutes. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this hour here on The Larry Mueller Show, when we get a gift, we will give an additional $100. So when you donate $50, you're actually giving $150. So please do it right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and increase the impact of your support.
And as an added bonus for supporting these programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. You don't have to contribute. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. But you know what? I think you should just go ahead and contribute right now.
Absolutely.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
That's right. So if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. I do that. It's so much easier than I don't have to remember to do it. It's super, super simple. You just do it from your bank account or credit card. So go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Do it right now. And Jill is shifting into her all-wheel drive and on her way out, but she'll come back and be with us again.
Room.
going to switch gears now and talk with Jim Ward. And we've got lots of things to talk with him about today. Certainly he's ready to answer your vehicle questions. I wanted to start with him, though, about talking about drive systems. Jim, welcome, by the way.
Thanks, Larry.
Good to have you back. You say that you really need to consider that drive system if you're going to buy a new car or another car. That's very important.
It is. I mean, in this part of the country, people do certainly consider that, and the majority of vehicles purchased now are of an all-wheel drive nature, and our climate supports that. But there are many different kinds, and there are differences between four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive, and it takes, you know, a little bit of consideration on what you're going to be using that vehicle for to determine which is right for you.
Yeah, I've got an all-wheel, that Highlander. I really like it a lot.
And it's perfect for most people that you don't have to really think about it. I mean, if historically, four-wheel drive vehicles were trucks with big tires. They were raised up. And to put it in four-wheel drive, the earlier systems, you stopped, you got out of the vehicle, you went up and kneeled in front of one of the front wheels and either had a little dial you had to turn or a lever you had to flip to on each side to engage each front hub, and then you could go. Whereas that doesn't really work really well when you're going along on a Wisconsin road and hit some black ice. There's no time for the driver to do any of that. Modern four-wheel drives then gave you a switch in the vehicle, but again, you know, hitting the black ice is instantaneous. So the all-wheel drive systems take the driver out of it, or to some degree, they have some switching you can do on some of these, but it really is, for most people, for the kind of driving most people are going to have to do in a Wisconsin winter, that all-wheel drive system is going to be the hot
ticket. That's the hot ticket. What about hybrids or electrics? Do they have the same kinds of options?
They do. And you know, there are many different types of systems out there, and ultimately, some of them are mechanical and some of them are electronic. Most of the all-wheel drives have sensors that do the thinking for you and tell the drivetrain which vehicle needs traction at what time and just automatically take care of it. And that's the same with hybrid electric or mechanical systems, modern ones. At least they have a computer and sensors that help control all of it for you.
Yeah. And the drive systems, I guess I'm trying to think back and remember if I ever had a problem with the drive system, and I can't remember having one. What kinds of issues may come up?
Well, they can develop some problems. For example, with traditional four-wheel drive systems, that's something that you want to engage in a four-wheel drive about once a month and drive a little bit of a distance. Those systems, whether they're mechanical or whether they're electronic, are prone to having some problems if they're not used on a somewhat regular basis. So again, with the all-wheel drive systems, when it automatically automatically switches in and out, that stuff's constantly being used. But you might go a couple of months without using a traditional four-wheel drive system. The axle shafts might start to bind up. The grease doesn't get moved around like it should in those systems. The electronic contacts for the electrical systems may start to get oxidized and not make the contact it should. It's still true that just a straight up four wheel drive vehicle that isn't that's a part time four wheel drive needs to be put in four wheel drive regularly. That being said, some of the things we've seen with all wheel drive systems are that they tend to make components more of a single component, whereas you'd have a separate drive shaft, separate U joints, a separate differential, and traditional part time four wheel drive. This might be all one assembly. Or it might even just be electronic differential in the back that doesn't even have a drive shaft coming back to it. But sometimes they can be more expensive if something does go wrong. U-joints are U-joints. They're going to fail. And on the all-wheel drive systems, you might have to replace a whole section rather than just the U-joint like on a traditional part-time four-wheel drive truck.
Well, Jim Ward, our guest from Smart Motors of Madison. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we have Vern from Boyd, Wisconsin online. So let's go there. Hi, Vern.
Hi. Yeah, I'm old school. I'll just make one quick comment. My 78 three-quarter ton Suburban with snow tires will pull most of y'all wheel drive vehicles in 12 inches of snow. But my problem is a 1983 Lincoln Town Car, and they got this crankshaft position sensor, and where do they mount it? On the bottom of the engine, and it's behind the air pump, and I don't know, do you got to take the air pump off to get that sensor out?
Boy, I'll tell you, on the Lincoln Town Car, I'm not sure what you got to do to get that sensor out. I'd have to get underneath that vehicle. That's not one that I've worked on myself. Vern, I just got to tell you, that is one I don't have much expertise in. I had thought this the way the question looked. I thought we were talking about ignition, and in the case of an ignition pickup, is what it looked like the question would be about. Most people with that vintage of car, I just have a spare distributor. But for that crank sensor, Vern, if you have access to the internet, I would Google that, and you're going to find that somebody has probably found a shortcut or some way to do it without taking that air pump off, or at least not taking it completely off. But, I'm going to have to say I couldn't tell you the best advice there, but it's certainly going to be out there. Something if you don't have internet yourself, get to the library, Google it, look it up, and you'll be able to find an answer to that one.
There you go, Vern. Thank you so much. Where is the sensor typically, like on my Toyota, for example?
Well, they tend to put them on the front of the engine, down the engine cover, and they're a bit easier to get at on most modern cars than on a 1980 Lincoln Town Car. They didn't design that with the intention that anybody was ever going to have to go in there and replace it.
Let's take another call again. The number is 800-642-1234. Wenzel in Amherst. We'll go to you now. Hi, Wenzel.
Hi, Larry and guest. My son recently got a 03 Honda CRV with fairly high mileage on it, and I understand that it's got a timing belt that should be changed periodically, so it doesn't wreck the engine if it rips off. And I wonder, is there a way to just look in there somehow, or do you have to just get it changed and, even if it's almost brand new, because he didn't know any history on this car.
Well, the with the timing belt, the cover doesn't have to be taken completely off to try to get a peek at the top of the belt where it goes over the cam gear on top. And if it's really new, that should be able to be evaluated just by taking a look at it. But then this belt isn't on the outside of the motor. It's not exposed, so it may not show much wear compared to the belts on the outside. And most critically, isn't the outside of the belt that you see. It's a gear cog belt. This is more similar to a bicycle chain that is, a chain to gear cogs, and it has to stay timed perfectly that way. So it's really the gears and underside that we're concerned about the appearance of. And by the time you go far enough to get a look at those, you may as well replace that belt. They should be replaced at the manufacturer's interval, but that's a problem when you buy a used one that has high mileage. You don't know when it's been done. It may be worth pursuing, trying to find some history for that. Carfax, a lot of times, if somebody can get you access to a Carfax, may show that a history that shows where the timing belt's been done, and that could be a real money and time saver if you can find out when it was previously done.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Wenzel. Appreciate your call. Well, here we are in the middle of our Wisconsin Public Radio winter member drive, and Jill Nadeau has smoothly driven into the microphone here with us, and she's here to talk with me and you about our goal. Our goal is to talk about things that are part of our daily lives, like advice on taking care of your car, for example. Your support makes that happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for our program. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have that great opportunity right now from the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. This is for remembering a generous listener from Columbus. They'll donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. So if you give $50, we'll get an additional $100. If you give $100, we'll get an additional $100. And that is amazing. Increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to think here at the Ideas Network, we keep you informed, we keep you entertained every day. Jill is just entertainment all in and of herself.
Oh, no, that's you, Larry. That's your part.
Well, I tell you what, ours is not the only show.
Unfortunately not.
No, but the good thing is we've got Chapter of Day, we got Zorba Pastor on your help, many others that you come to rely on.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on the Ideas Network with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know the easiest way to do it?
What's the easiest way, Larry?
Well, you can become a sustainer. You make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account, or you could use your credit card or your debit card.
That's right. Some people give $10 a month. Some give $15 or $20. You pick the amount that works for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then you can just sit back and enjoy the rest of the programs that you value.
We have a cozy new thank you gift for you this drive. It's the WPR Knit Hat. Show off your support through our long Wisconsin winters with this white and navy cap featuring gold stripes and a burgundy palm. It's made in Wisconsin, and it'll be your new cold weather essential. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or a one-time gift of $240 right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. And your gift might be $10 a month, might be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And we have that special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because of the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. They're going to add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. And that's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you're already have donated this year, or maybe you're a sustaining member. Thanks very much for that. Well, you can join me and make an extra gift. That's
right.
What I did
about
25 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. Maybe $50 or $100 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for your extra support for the programs. I'm patting myself on the back.
Well, you should. Help. Don't hurt yourself. The PT people aren't in until next month. And remember, Larry, when you gave that additional amount, they added $100 from the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. So that even made your donation more.
And
you got a cap?
On top of
it. What more could you want? You can be like Larry. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
Show your support right now and ask for the that WPR hat.
That's right.
I want a hat like Larry's got. It's a navy knit cap. It's stylish, kind of cozy, and it's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you so, so much. And make today the day that maybe you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever you choose, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Taking a look at your vehicle today with Jim Ward, service manager at Smart Motors of Madison. Great to have him back. Lots of callers online, Jim, so let's just go to the phones. Dave in Osseo will give you a chance now. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Larry. Hello, Jim. My question is, I grew up with four-wheel drive, and there was always that warning that you should never have it engaged for any length of time on dry pavement. Is that still something important, or is it, I suppose, all automated now, so it doesn't matter as far as the driver?
Sure, yeah. Dave. No, it is still important. I mean, all-wheel drive vehicles have either center differentials or now there's so many different technologies out there that do allow the wheel. So here's the issue is that when you have a part-time four-wheel drive, full-time four-wheel drive vehicle, when you have it one type of four-wheel drive locked in, the inside, when you're going around a corner, the inside and the outside wheels have to turn at different speeds, but they're locked together and can't. So typical four-wheel drive part-time vehicle would be able to be switched into four high or four low, four high, meaning you could drive it on the streets, but you're still going to have some binding. A typical driving around at city speeds, turning corners, not so much of an issue. But get into a parking lot and try to turn into a parking stall, and you can start to feel the steering wheel bind, and that's called wind-up of that four-wheel drive system. And you can wind up a transfer case so bad that it actually won't work anymore, and you have to take it apart and do repairs. But you know right away when you're in a vehicle that has that because, yeah, just try doing a tight turn and you can feel the bind up. Now, again, all-wheel drive, the modern all-wheel drive vehicles have systems that prevent that and allow a slip of a gun wheel, allow it to put power where it needs to. But, there's still four-wheel drive systems out there that do what you remember, Dave. So, yep, you want to make sure that you understand which you have. In all likelihood, if you have a switch and you have to switch in and out of four-wheel drive, you have that concern. If it's an all-wheel drive system, it's all automated, you don't.
And thanks for calling, Dave. Appreciate it. Mike in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Larry. My question, I got a 2019 Tundra, and obviously the gas mileage is not the best on that. And I've heard of people that have said something about putting a different chip in their truck to get better gas mileage versus milk power. Is that something that I can do to get better gas mileage?
You can. I mean, it does work. I've had Tundras myself, love those trucks, but this time of year, that really hurts. It really hurts. You feel like you can see the gas gauge move as you drive. There are chips. It's not something that it's kind of a performance shop thing. It's not something that we do in our shop is to put those chips in. And, it has to be said, there are some concerns. If it's not done right, you can affect the warranty on any given component that might be affected, not going to really avoid a whole warranty. But most of the time, these things don't have any counter effect, a bad effect or damage anything. You're controlling the way the computer is going to look at the mass airflow sensor, the oxygen, the components that help the fuel system manage and try to get gas mileage. There are things you can do. Usually people are trying to go for more power rather than the other way around. So you're going to find out that for if there's 10 different chips out there you can put in, 9 of them are probably going to be for more power and 1 might be for fuel economy. But, yep, that is a possibility.
There you go. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Martha in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Martha.
Hi, thank you. I just bought a used 2014 Toyota hybrid Camry, and whenever it's wet outside, like snow melt and stuff, and I notice it most in the morning when I'm backing up, the brakes squeak horribly, and I've taken it twice into repair, and they can't figure out what's wrong with it. Do you have any ideas?
Well, there may be nothing wrong with it, and this is what I mean by that. We live in a climate where I just had a conversation with an engineer this week about a vehicle with that issue, and it's what happens is that when it's humid, we get the brake disc or the brake rotor that's bolted to the hub your wheel spins on can't be painted. It can't be treated to prevent rust, and it doesn't typically get rusty because your brakes are applying on all the time and creating this friction. But overnight, you can get what's called flash oxidation. It's not even something you can see, but you can sure hear it when you hit your brakes. Now, I'm not going to recommend that you drive I'll give you a description. Sometimes you see somebody that always hits the brakes at the last minute. You don't even think they're going to stop if they're coming up from a perpendicular street. They just holler to a stop at the last moment. Those people do not have that squeak that you're talking about if it's caused by this flash oxidation. Many of us, and most of us, logically, try to make our brakes last. So we do what you're taught to do in driver's ed. You brake early and brake light and treat it like there's an egg under that pedal and be really careful. And unfortunately, those people are going to have brake squeak because they're not creating the friction to get that flash oxidation off when it's humid. All that being said, there are conditions that can go wrong. There are components that your brake pads are supposed to slide in and out on smoothly that can rust and get hung up and cause different conditions. If you've had it into a shop, those are the things they probably looked at, and they probably are correct. So that that can also be addressed. So you don't have to be that crazy last-minute breaker all the time. If you just occasionally get out on the highway and you hit the brakes hard, you don't want to hit them so hard you lock up your wheels, and you want to make sure you take a good look in the rearview mirror and that there's nobody near behind you, kind of be alone in the highway. But hit the brakes hard a couple times, it grinds out that oxidation. If you experiment with that and find out that then for a few days you don't hear that brake squeak anymore, that's what you need to do every few days. And that's what the key is for most people with this kind of common brake squeak.
There you go, Martha. Thanks again for calling. By the way, you can join in too with your question, vehicle question, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to Neil in Slinger next. Hi, Neil.
Hi. Hey, I got a 1998 Chevy work truck, and if it's parked, usually overnight, I'll start it up. It makes a gosh-awful noise, and when I back out of the garage and I step on the brake, usually it's in reverse when it makes that noise. And after a while, driving into town, I'm in Slinger, I'm north of town, and driving in, it sort of goes away, but it comes back. And I don't know what's, and I've had it to different shops, and nobody knows what's going on.
So you have to be moving to hear this sound, is that right, Neil?
No, when I'm starting it up, it'll make sometimes a gosh-awful noise in the garage sitting overnight. After sitting overnight, and then when I back it up, it'll make that noise, usually only in reverse.
Right. So, but when you first start it and you're not moving yet, you're not hearing the sound. The vehicle has to be moving to hear the sound?
No. Sometimes it'll give you the sound when it's not moving.
Well, this is a process of elimination, and it starts with hearing it. We at the shop, we're going to have one guy start the truck and somebody on the outside, because where is this coming from? Is this coming from the engine? Is it coming from the, even though your transmission is not engaged, there are things moving that can make noise. Is this, just somebody taking a listen. And if you're having a shop take a look at it, one of the things that any vehicle you have, anytime you're trying to get a problem resolved, one of the key questions is, does just do it in the morning when it's cold, or does it do it after it's warmed up? Because if you drive it to the shop and you got it all warmed up and it's not making the sound anymore, they don't have much of a chance. It may be a kind of thing where you have to leave it the night before so that they can actually duplicate it and hear it in the morning. I certainly can't think of any. In the noise, is it a screeching noise, a grinding? How would you describe it?
Well, it sounds like, you got that thing on your brake that pulses.
The anti-lock brake makes a kind of a ratcheting sound, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not a squeaking noise. It's more of a thump, 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 thump. And I've had other people listen when it starts up cold, and they crawl all over the thing, and they can't figure it out either.
Yeah.
And two different mechanic shops in Slinger, they just shrugged their shoulders, and one said, "Oh, yeah, it only happens usually in reverse."
So don't do that, right? the kind of things we do, once we hear it, if it sounds like it's from the front of the motor, that's going to suggest to us that it's possibly one of the belt-driven accessories, like your alternator or water pump or something. So although you don't want to operate that engine for very long without a belt on to run the water pump and alternator, from a cold start, you can run it for a few moments with the belt off, and that's going to eliminate all those belt-driven. So that's what this is going to come down to, is some of that kind of experimentation. Where does it sound like it's coming from? Take the drive belt off and run it for a moment and see if the noise is eliminated. If the noise is eliminated when you have the belt off, then you want to hand spin that, you know, alternator water pump, the different belt, different devices, and see if one of them has a real rough feel, like, you know, maybe a bearing's going out on one of those devices. But yeah, that's what it's going to take to get to the bottom of this. Someone's going to have to start eliminating some of the possibilities.
Yeah, there you go, Neil. Thank you so much for calling. Why are Gary from Spring Green wonders emailed and wondered, why are some cars using continuous variable transmissions? Will they last as long as standard transmissions?
That is the idea, that they will last longer. You have fewer moving parts. You have a much less complicated transmission. You essentially don't have gears. You can imagine this is a pulley that's shaped like a V and a belt in it, but this really isn't a belt. It's kind of like a belt with metal scales. You have to look at it to get it. But essentially, you don't really have separate gears, so that this continuously variable allows the transmission to just, you know, the ratio just changes as you accelerate along. You don't feel the shock and the of the shifts, and those are easier on the whole drivetrain when you don't have that. To date, they've been out quite a while. More and more manufacturers are going to them, not really seeing any problems with them either. So the idea is that fewer moving parts, less complicated, less shock on the drivetrain. Not only does the transmission likely last longer, but other drivetrain components that wear eventually because of that shock are going to last longer too.
Oh, interesting. Arlene in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Arlene.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello?
Hi, Arlene.
Hi. Yes, I have a question to ask you, and I know it probably sounds silly. How often should you use your emergency brake? Because I heard many years ago that, you know, if you never use your emergency brake, when you maybe go to use it, it won't work.
Well, you heard right. Yep, you heard right. So the answer is always or never. If you, and this is why, is that the emergency brake has got cables that run through plastic sheaths, and we live in Wisconsin where there's salt water and that rusts up and they will stick. So it may be that you try to move. Most often it isn't that it won't work. It does work, but then it won't come off. And you've got an emergency brake stuck on, and that's what typically happens. So with automatic transmission vehicles, by and large, for the most part, you don't need to use an emergency brake, but there's nothing wrong with using it. But if you're going to use the emergency brake, use it absolutely every single time you park. Put it on, put it off, because that continuous engagement and disengagement keeps it freed up and keeps it working right. If you go months and months without using it and put it on, expect that when you go to take it off, it's not going to come off, and someone's going to have to get under there and with a hammer and smack those levers or possibly take it apart. You know, and sometimes actually you can just put the car in gear and pop it off, but it sounds awful lot like you're breaking something, and that's kind of hard on the car. So
don't
always
do that,
or never.
Arlene.
Always or never.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Jim Ward of Toyota, Smart Motors of Toyota, our guest today. Jill Nadeau, our all-wheel drive gal from Wisconsin Public Radio, with us as well. And she's here to help me talk with you about your support. It's an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, it's the largest source of funding for our programs. And this drive is your time to take some action. Put her into all-wheel drive here and make the programs possible. And you do it when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just a reminder, we have a special opportunity right now. It's a great time to donate because the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund, which is remembering a generous listener from Columbus, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every time Jim Ward's on the show, the line's just a blossom.
I know. I'm usually answering those, Larry.
And lots of great questions. And people like Jim who are on have helped so many people. He's helped a lot of people with their vehicle questions over time. I've learned an awful lot talking with him. And I bet you have, too. And, you know, it's one of our services. One of the things that we try to do is provide good information, and we need some listener support to help do that. And that means when you give at WPR.org or maybe a phone, you can phone 888-202-2552 2552. You make this hour and the many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount right now that works for you. Then take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And once in a while, you actually do get more than you pay for. And I mean, I think that WPR is one of those places where that's true every single day. So just consider a gift of maybe $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
Really hard to buy much for $2 these days. but at WPR, $2 a day makes a lot of news and talk and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Eben, thanks a lot. You can join Eben with a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, your support is so, so, so important. And maybe your gift is $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And that is so cool because at WPR, you get to choose how much that you give. A contribution in any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. The same amount that you pay per month for Netflix or cable.
Or maybe coffee. Which like WPR.
Or peanuts,
yeah.
Larry.
Probably, yeah. I spent a bunch of money on peanuts. Oh, man. And something I look forward to. And maybe it's something you look forward to every day, a cup of coffee. Well, give now. You pick the amount. Your gift makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, the hour is winding down, and soon you will not be able to get this additional $100 for every donation made. So if you give $50, we'll get an extra $100. So don't forget that, and please take advantage. So give now, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552, and increase the impact of your support.
And wait, Jill, there's more.
And there's more!
As an added bonus for supporting the programs that you love, you'll get five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. Good thing to do. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Taking a look at your vehicle today and maintenance of your vehicle with Jim Ward, Service Manager at Smart Motors. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@WPR.org. Nick in Milwaukee has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I got a Matrix. And never burned oil. Never leaked oil. Nothing. We went to this Take 5 oil change place. We got an oil change because we were heading from Green Bay to Milwaukee to go to the Discovery World. We got back and it was making a funny sound, so we brought it in. The guy's like, wow, it's bone drying oil. And we made the comment, we said, well, the only people that changed the oil was you. And he's like, nope, it's not our responsibility. So I was wondering, what do you think they could have done to the car to make it go through oil like crazy?
What year is that
Matrix? What year is the Matrix?
2004.
Okay. Well, the possibilities are that you know, most shops have pretty careful procedures about draining the oil out and putting oil back in. They're usually their best guy does it. Nonetheless, they're human beings, so it's possible it got short filled or didn't get oil put in. But it's difficult to prove that. It is also possible that the engine is using oil. An engine that uses oil, it's unfortunately true that 07 and 8 Matrixes had an issue that the piston rings and pistons had a bit of a mismatch. As those engines got some miles on them, they would start to consume oil. And for those vehicles, vehicles. They actually came out with a support program and covered them for like 9 years, 150,000 miles. A vehicle that has that problem and uses oil will not use as much in your daily commute as it does on the highway. It may double or triple the consumption. So one of the big keys here is that, and fortunately, these engines are, it's not that you can't damage you, you certainly can, but the noise you heard probably wasn't like a rod knocking. It probably was the timing chain, which is oil pressure tensioned, or the variable cam gears that start to make noise when they don't have enough oil to make oil pressure. But going forward, you're going to want to watch that oil level pretty closely. I would be checking it every time I get gas at first. If you do establish it's got a rate of oil consumption, you know, if you're changing your oil every 5,000 miles, you may find that it's burning a quart in 3,000 miles. In that typical scenario of your normal, you know, commuting driving, you wouldn't really notice that in a 5,000-mile interval. If it used a quart, when they change oil, it's a quart low, they may or may not notice that. But if you take a highway trip and it doubles or triples it, you're going to run into what you did again this time. So start monitoring the oil level. Watch it very closely. Check it every time you get gas. Start to establish whether you can see a pattern of oil use. And once you do, then you know you have to add oil at that regular basis when you're doing your in-town driving. If you take a trip, you're probably going to need to just check it on that trip again every time you get gas to make sure that that you're anticipating the accelerated rate of consumption. So, you know, again, it's possible the shop didn't put oil in it, but it's just as likely, probably more likely, that this engine is burning oil and it's just not doing it the same on a highway trip as in town.
Might need to have an extra quart or two in the car with you.
That's the way most people will manage that, if it is indeed burning some oil.
Yeah. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Scott in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Larry and guest. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 2010 Chevy Impala, and it is, the windows seem to steam up a lot more this year in the winter. I've had it since it was in 2011 we bought it. And I have never had this problem before, and it's not a heater core, I don't think, because usually when it's a heater core leak, then you get a film on the windshield, and I don't notice that at all. But when my wife and I are driving along, all of a sudden the windows in the back will be steamed up, and we'll have the heater on high, and it still won't clear up.
Yeah. Well, so some possibilities here. As you said, sometimes the heater core is leaking, but that tends to be associated because that's leaking antifreeze, and antifreeze is a glycol alcohol that leaves that kind of slimy film on the windshield, and also strangely smells a little bit like pancake syrup. You know, it's got a sweet smell that people notice. So, if you're not noticing that kind of smell, not seeing that, there's something else going on here. And those possibilities are that even though it's winter, your air conditioner runs whenever you have it under frost. It will create some it will evaporate some water out of the air, and that there's a system that's supposed to drain that out of the little ventilation system's box on the bottom. If that drain is affected, that water builds up, and you get more steam inside and more of that condensation in the car, causing the fogging on the windows. The other thing is that the ventilation system also has a freshen or recirculate control. Now, I'm not sure on the Chevy Impala, on many vehicles, that's just automatically controlled by an automatic climate control system. Other vehicles give you a switch where you can, the little button almost looks like a recycle circle where it's showing little arrows that are going in a circle, and that button is a recirculate button. If you have that on all the time, you are going to have windows fogging up because you're not taking in fresh air. And likewise, if there's a malfunction in the ventilation system, you know, some rodent material like a little nest can keep the doors from opening and closing that are supposed to provide fresh air when they should, or, you know, the linkages can break or get out of adjustment so that it's not really going to fresh air when it should. So those are the possibilities. Those are the things that need to be eliminated, a process of elimination to find out what's really going on there. But yep, something has changed in the way that ventilation system's working.
Here you go, Scott. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Good luck. Roger in Park Falls, your turn. Hi, Roger.
Thank you. Please discuss four-wheel drive versus all-wheel drive implementation. My understanding is that part-time four-wheel drive provides torque to one wheel per front wheel axle. Locked four-wheel drive provides torque to both wheels per axle. Contrast that to all-wheel drive, please.
Okay. Sure. Well, an example is that, and honestly, most traditional four-wheel drive trucks, like a pickup truck that is part-time four-wheel drive, when you put it into four high or four low, you are putting power to all four wheels. However, you can get in a situation, if you don't have a locking differential, you can get a situation where if one of those rear wheels is off the ground or is on a slippery surface, it's going to be the one to get power and spin, and you're still going to be stuck. And I found that out the hard way with my first four-wheel drive truck. Now my trucks have locking differentials. So with a locking differential, then those wheels will turn together, and even if one's on a slip surface, the other one can still turn and try to get you traction. And when it comes to off-road situations where you're intentionally taking the vehicle off-road and doing some off-road things like bouldering, and you really need to have those locking differentials. All-wheel drive systems vary a bit. They're not all the same, but they tend to have sensors that sense that spin. They can use, some of them are as primitive as using your analog brake system to control the slip. That's what the basic traction control does. But all-wheel drive systems are a little more sophisticated and take the take that factor out of it and apply power to the wheels independently. They vary quite a bit in how much power may be applied to front or rear each wheel or how automatic they do it themselves. Some of the more sophisticated systems now have torque vectoring where it really can really precisely control exactly how much is going to each wheel and senses, if one's slipping. And so the all-wheel drive system is really probably superior for like winter driving on the streets and stuff. But if you're out in, a 3-foot snowdrift, there's nothing like that four-wheel drive.
No, there is indeed not. Well, Jill Nadeau is telling me she wanted to put a little torque to our member drive. She's talking about torque there.
Yeah, I use torque all the time, Larry. It's one of my favorite words.
She's a torquer, that's for sure. And tell you what, your support, that's the foundation of funding and all that torque for our Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Your support, it's the biggest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great programs and discussions. So that's why Jill's with me. Give a little torque to this and encourage you to make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're getting plenty of torque from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund because they are donating an additional $100 when you give this hour. So increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give at WPR.org and 888-202-2552.
Love having Jim Ward on the program because he has so much good practical information and advice that may have saved you some money along the way.
And you can understand what he's saying.
Yeah, you can actually understand exactly what he's talking about. And I think that's true of a lot of our, I hope, all of our guests that
right.
we have on the show.
Yes.
And it's, it's a benefit to you as a listener. We're listener supported here at WPR. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Did you get cold ears coming into work today? Well, maybe you need to get a brand new cozy, stylish WPR hat.
Yes,
that's right.
I already got mine.
This knit hat is USA made right here in Wisconsin. Support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride wherever you go. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Penny, you're a peach. Thank you so much for your contribution and for talking with us about it. You can do it, too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau at this moment. Your support makes all the programs you enjoy going strong. and your gift could be $10 a month, might be $100, maybe $200 a month. We appreciate it, and we count on your gift.
Yes, and don't forget, we only have 3 more minutes left when you can take advantage of this great opportunity from the Merle M. Gunther Memorial Fund. They will donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. So you give us $50, they'll give us an additional $100. You give us $75, they'll give an additional $100. So increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we really do want you to give an amount that's comfortable for you. Many people give $10 a month. Some give $100. Some give $40 a month. It goes all over the map.
Whatever amount, you'll use it. We'll use it to support the programs that you enjoy, keeping your source of information and entertainment on WPR going strong. Give now whatever amount feels right to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know what? Whatever amount you give, there's going to be another $100 coming our way.
Yay.
From the Merle Gunther Memorial Fund. Remembering a generous listener from Columbus when you donate. Do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you're increasing the impact of your support.
That's right. Show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR hat. It's navy knit cap. It's very stylish and very warm. It's yours when you give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, I certainly want to thank you for that. It really helps. Make the day today the day that you increase your support if you're a sustainer. Maybe add $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We had Sophie in Madison, who's a first-time donor, long-time listener. Has it on her house every morning and most evening. It keeps her company. And the warmth from the stereo keeps the cats warm.
We
can even
cats
keep
here.
Your cats warm.
That's
here
right.
At
we
Wisconsin Public Radio. Great. And keep your cat warm right now. Make a contribution. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And we'll be back with Jim Ward right after the news. Make your contribution now. Taking a look at vehicle maintenance on the program today with our expert Jim Ward back with us, service manager at Smart Motors. Larry Mueller here asking some questions, but you can ask questions too. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. We've got some email questions. We'll get to those too at ideas@WPR.org. Always great to have Jim come by. Doug in La Crosse is on the line, I believe, with a question. Let's go there. Hi, Doug.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
I have a 2008 Avalon that had this shutter in driving that was diagnosed as a torque converter, so that was replaced. And I was told that not to expect the car to drive as it drove before for the next 500 miles or so, because the car or the computer was going to adjust to my driving. Ultimately, they replaced the neutral limiting switch. And again, it was going to take about 500 miles for the car to level out and not shudder anymore and what have you. It's almost 100% right, but not quite. And I'm just trying to, I don't understand if the machine is repaired, why it just doesn't drive fine when you drive off the lot. And I don't understand the car having to reacclimate itself to my driving habits, and what part of that does the neutral limiting switch play?
Well, the car does have some adaptive systems that do adapt to the driver, primarily with the throttle. Simply put, if you accelerate every time and you push the pedal even harder that, I want more, it's going to adjust so that the first quarter inch, half inch of your gas pedal, your throttle throw has more throttle opening angle, and the person who pushes the gas pedal backs off every time because that was more than they expected, it's going to adjust there so that there's not much throttle opening for the first quarter half inch. So that kind of adaptivity is a learned thing, and if they do a major job, and they sometimes, for various reasons, clear those learned values, and they have to relearn. But that typically is a pretty quick thing, you know. And so I'm not just sure. Does the symptom you're getting, the torque converter that you originally had replaced, is typically done for a shutter that you feel like when you're starting to go up of slight grade in the transmission, has to start to the throttle has to accelerate a little bit. So is that what you're still experiencing, Doug?
Before I did the replacement, it was tremendous in the 35 to 45 mile per hour range.
Right.
And now in the low gears, it's very subtle. I can just feel a very subtle vibration because the car just is as smooth as silk or should be.
Yeah.
And I just feel a subtle vibration that it's intermittent. It's not always there, but it's, you know, my wife's in the car with me. She's going, oh, is that what you're talking about? Yeah. And it's not gone. So is there a problem with the converter, or didn't they do something right? I don't understand.
Well, I don't think there's any reset or learning that's going to resolve this at this point. And if anything is amiss or off as a result of the torque converter replacement, it's not going to be the torque converter itself. It's most likely going to be the transmission fluid level, which usually just gives you some odd shift points. If it's way, and these vehicles and these transmissions are really sensitive to that level being just exactly right. If it's off much, you're going to get either some very harsh, harsh, noisy shifts, or you're going to get some very sloppy, loose shifts. But if it's off just a little bit, it can be a very subtle thing like you're describing. So, I mean, that is what I would recommend. And unfortunately, that transmission, I think, is sealed. I don't think you have a dipstick. I don't think you can check it yourself. There's a procedure the shop has to go through. They probably have to have the car a little while because you got to check it at a certain temperature, which is not all the way warmed up, and then make an adjustment from there. But that is where I would start looking. I don't think that the driving time resetting, that's not going to be related to what you're experiencing now.
There you go, Doug. Thanks for your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Let's take some emails. MJ emailed. She has a 2015 Subaru Impreza with 66,000 miles. Used to get 34.2 miles per gallon every spring, fall, and winter. Understandably, the mileage would drop a bit in winter. But for the last year, she's only gotten around 27.6. miles per gallon. Does regular maintenance, just put on new tires. Anything more she can do to get better gas mileage?
Well, as vehicles age and the mileage gets higher, we will lose some fuel efficiency, although 34 to 27 seems like
that's
a
quite
lot.
A bit.
That's quite a bit more. Tire pressures are key. Low tire pressures are going to drop your fuel mileage. If you have anything in the driveline that's hanging up or a brake that is hanging up a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be very much to cause a real drag on the system. It's typically not going to be an engine or a fuel system adjustment. If they're off that much, you're likely going to be having a warning light on. Although I have seen, you know, I've seen something as simple as an air filter that is in a car affect the gas mileage significantly. The factory air filter is made to fit in there just right. They have just the right density and not too much restriction of air. So, you know, if you have the car inspected and they find there's no sign of drag when they put it up in the air, they can spin the wheels easy and there's no sign of brake drag and the tire pressures are right. Yeah, I would try just getting an OEM Subaru air filter and putting it in there if that's not what you got in there now. Or even if you do, it could have gotten dirty somehow. That is a very simple fix that often affects gas mileage to about the degree you're describing.
Paul emailed. He has a 2015 Toyota Highlander, and the FM radio function will occasionally freeze with the audio and display fine. It will not allow any adjustments for a couple of minutes. Then it will shut off to an empty screen and eventually restart all by itself.
Sure.
Any ideas?
Yeah, we used to have radios in cars, and now we have computers that we call radios. And that is a computer, and it's probably rebooting or freezing. And their manufacturers, Toyota and everybody else, is constantly coming out with software updates. Just like for your computer, they're going to have to reflash a software update that generally resolve these kind of things. There are often compatibility issues as well, though. Right now I know that Toyota, Subaru, Jeep are all having fits with Apple's iOS 13 point, whichever you want to pick, and anticipating an Apple update that's going to resolve some of that from their end as well. The new phones and the new vehicles are allowing more and more information and data to be shifted from your phone onto the vehicle, onto that little computer. You know, used to be just like your contact list, but now it can have some special characters like the word in a text or an emoji or something like that that the computer just can't handle. And so sometimes the software from the update from the manufacturer can resolve that, and sometimes it's a software update from the phone. So you want to make sure that your phone's software is up to date. If it's Apple iOS 13 point anything, that alone may be the problem, but you can also, with the faceplate number on the front of the radio, the dealer can look and see if there's an update for the software, and that's very common to resolve that kind of an issue.
All right, there you go. Good answer for that one, too. Holly in Ogama online. Let's go there. Hi, Holly.
Hi. I've kind of got two questions. I'm a mail carrier, and I'm on my route this morning, and I got a 2005 RAV, and ever since last summer, I had the rear brakes fixed. I keep getting the VSC, ABS, four-wheel drive, and brake idiot lights come all the time, on and off. And every time I take it in, they can't find anything other than months of chunk of rust or something. And now I got it back 3 days ago, and they thought maybe it was some ice because I'm, hauling mail. So I don't know why those lights keep coming on. And then I've got a 98 Subaru, which I bought years ago. It's got over 300,000 miles, depending on when the odometer works. It's my backup car, and it gets me around. It's just, I'm curious, is it cost a lot to have that rear-wheel drive added back onto it?
Well, let's start with the RAV. What you're describing is the vehicle's got sensors that the anti-lock brake system and traction control systems use. And sometimes when you do brake work or just go over a big bump like railroad tracks, a little piece of rust gets knocked loose and that sensor can't read things right. And there's actually a specific code when that warning light comes on that will say there's something on the tip of the sensor. But if that keeps coming back, then it may be actually a fault in the sensor. Can be open circuit, which means it's not going to work at all. That's a different code. So if they keep getting that same code that there's something on the tip of the sensor and they look in there and they keep not seeing anything on the tip of the sensor, then the possibilities are that the sensor itself has a problem on the tip that's permanent and it's not going to come off. It's also possible that there's a magnetic kind of a ring, a gear sort of thing on the hub that spins around that sensor's reading. Those can crack and have an open. That can also cause some weird codes, and it may have to have that replaced. In terms of the Subaru, so are you saying that this was an all-wheel drive Subaru and now it's two-wheel drive?
It was all-wheel drive when, originally, I guess.
Right.
I bought it used, and someone said that if you don't disengage it and tow it, that it can cause it to go out.
Hmm.
So
well,
I was just curious if that ever happened, because I got a lot of run in the front, but there's no kick in the back.
Right. Well, here's the thing about Subaru. Subaru did something kind of interesting. So with their all-wheel drive system, many of their vehicles had a mini spare, and the enemy of these all-wheel drive systems and four-wheel drive systems is having tires that are different heights because the axle then is spinning at a different speed on one side than the other. So Subaru gave the option, if you had to put that spare on, that there would be a fuse that you'd put in that it would actually make it a two-wheel drive vehicle. So it may just be as simple as someone had a flat, they put that fuse in, and then they sold the vehicle without taking that back out. Take it back out, and you've got all-wheel drive again. It's also possible that something in the drive system back there is disengaged or worn out or isn't getting the right signal. It's going to take some inspecting, but I would certainly check to see if you have a fuse labeled, it will be labeled FWD for front wheel drive. And if that's the case, somebody's put that in there to disable the all wheel drive system intentionally because they were going to drive it with different size tires or most often with a spare that's a mini spare that would be a different size.
There you go. That might be a simple solution. Thanks so much, Holly, for that question. Chuck in Viroqua emailed. He has a 2011 Ford Fusion Hybrid with about 110,000 miles. He was driving and the stop safety now message suddenly appeared and the car dropped to about 10 miles per hour. He pulled over and shut off the car for a couple of minutes before restarting it and continuing on the in-town trip. The warning did not reappear. A service dealer for Ford found no information when doing a scan. What should he do? Is he at risk driving at highway speeds?
You know, you may never have that experience again. It may certainly happen again. If you Google this, you're going to find you're in good company. What happened is the vehicle went into what we call limp mode. And the engine is getting a signal. The computer that runs the engine is getting a signal from something that is, for example, it could be seeing a misfire. A misfire potentially can do engine damage. So if it's seeing a misfire severely enough, the computer's going to say, you know what, I'm going to give you enough power to get this thing off the road. And then, you know, you're not going to be able to drive it. Vehicle with the Ford Fusion, there have been some throttle body issues, some different things. Unfortunately, there are lots of different things that can cause a vehicle to go into limp mode. A lot of people had that experience once, never had it again. So I wish I could reassure you, you aren't likely to have it again. You had mentioned also that you took it to a service department. They did a scan. We've got different scanners in service departments. When you pull into the drive-thru, my advisors have real simple little scanners that they can't really read data, but they could read if there's a code. So depending on what scanner was used, because most often something as serious as going into limp mode is going to set a code. Not always, but it usually does. But whether you can really see, if the code's not an active code, a little cheap handheld reader may not pick it up. So if they've got something that is more able to read data, a more sophisticated code reader, that would be something else I would suggest to see if that could help narrow down what caused that limp mode to engage.
Limp modes. That's a heck of a time to... it probably is a good description, isn't it?
It's a good thing for the vehicle. It can prevent it doing damage, but it's sure disconcerting when you're the driver on the highway.
Oh, man. Jim Ward, our guest today, service manager at Smart Motors of Madison. It's always a pleasure to have him with us. He has such great answers to questions, and as Joe was saying earlier, it's, you know, you can understand what he's talking about because he does a really good job of providing you and me and Jill and everybody else with some great information about their vehicles. And it's great to have him on during our winter membership drive. Jill Nadeau back, by the way.
Hello.
Cruised into the studio. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
That's right. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2255.
And if you've already renewed or you're making ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers really are the backbone of WPR.
That's right. And if you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We cover a lot of topics on this program. We talk about environmental issues, consumer issues. Garden Talk is one of our most popular shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. A lot of advice programs like Jim Ward here with his advice about your vehicles. But we do Wisconsin authors a lot, Wisconsin food. I think you get a lot of great information about this program from this program. I certainly do. It's possible because of your financial support. So I hope you'll support it and all the programs you enjoy. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And make your contribution.
And our membership team always comes up with a little added extra incentive for you to give during these drives. This time, we're having a really cool drawing for a $500 travel agency gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win if you contribute, but no contribution is necessary. And you can see all of those details at WPR.org/drawing. But you know what? Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you tune in Wisconsin Public Radio every day on your way and to and from work or maybe over the lunch hour and then some more on the weekends.
I know I do. Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. It's an important part of our life. Your day would probably be different. Maybe even worse if you couldn't catch your favorite program. So your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to WPR before because you didn't think you could give enough to make a difference, please think again.
Yeah.
It's gifts from thousands of people combined together that make our programs possible.
And it's such a great idea. Now, many first-time donors, if you're not sure how much you want to give, they give $10 or $20 a month. For their WPR listening, that's what they can do. You decide the amount that works for you, and then join our team effort with your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
That's right. Supporting WPR right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected in the world. And it does something else, too, as we found out from Sophie in Madison. Who was a first-time donor this time around. She has the radio on all day on WPR, and she claims, and I'm sure she's right, that the stereo keeps her cats warm, too. Now, there's something that I have not talked about before on the program over the years, but WPR could be the best cat warmer
absolutely
that you've ever had.
And we think about cats when we make our programming choices.
So give now.
Give now.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And remember, as a donor, you get to decide how much to give. And maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Maybe it is. That might be what you spend every month for going out for dinner, doing things with friends. And, you know, those things are important, too, just like giving to WPR. The important thing for us is that you decide what's right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And do it now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a few minutes to contribute.
Yeah, especially since there's only about 3 minutes or so to go before the end of this program, a chance to support us here at Wisconsin Public Radio and this particular program.
That's right.
We have a lot of fun with this program. We work pretty hard most of the time, but we laugh a lot, too, don't we?
We do. We laugh a lot.
We laugh a lot, and sometimes we're laughing with you. We never laugh at you.
No.
No.
Never.
Because you are the most important part of the program, as a matter of fact. It's your support. It's your calls. Your support. So important to us. If you've been thinking about it, haven't done it yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And if you are wondering, you know, how much should I give? Remember, that's up to you. No one, when you call, no one's going to say, that's not enough. And we certainly aren't going to say that's too much. But your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs. So programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs that you love, you'll have 5 chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sustainers, of course, you're automatically entered.
That's right. And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Just go to WPR.org or you can call 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs that you love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
Jill and I love doing this program and working together. We have so much fun, and it's so makes us feel so good to know the kind of support we have. If you've already given, thank you so much. If you haven't given, now is a great time to do it. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Thanks again if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. You're listening to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.